Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 183, the Quilt Con Contro episode. Contro being short for controversy. I love quilty controversies, not just because I'm kind of gossipy and like talking about people, but also because I think they're a great way for us to talk about quilting and the quilt scene in general. What's going on? What are we thinking about? What's important to us right now? You have probably heard, if you pay attention to modern quilts or just quilty gossip in general, that the Best in Show quilt, My Brother's Jeans by Melissa Averinos, has caused a bit of a stir. I have heard both sides of the argument. There are those who feel like it's a poorly constructed quilt. It's not that visually arresting. There are other quilts that should have won Best in Show. And on the other side, there are those who say, you know, it's a powerful quilt. It's a very moving quilt. There's something about it that's just compelling, etc., etc. One of the things that's being talked about is the story behind the quilt. The quilt has denim in it that is from the quilter's brother's jeans, and the brother committed suicide several years ago. So it's a very powerful story. And there are those who feel like, you know, that's why it won Best in Show, and the story behind the quilt shouldn't matter. And there are others who are saying the story does matter. And this is modern quilting, and it's a new aesthetic, and we're thinking about quilts differently. It's not just how's the binding. And someone told me this quilt didn't have binding. I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and I think that's possibly true. In any event, I love talking about stuff like this. I'm very happy and pleased that Annie Smith, that's Annie to me, you know, because we're very close friends, really best friends, I think. But Annie is doing a podcast episode where she and Krista Watson, our wonderful favorite modern machine quilter on the Twilters group, talk about this quilt. And I'll be interested. I have a feeling just from having read their comments on our Twilter discussion board on Facebook that I have a feeling that they may be coming at it from different angles. I think of Annie as being a somewhat more traditional quilter, although I think she's also wide open. That's my sense. And Krista's definitely modern. So I'll look forward to that. I'm sure that when it comes up, someone will post about it in Twilters or various social media sites, so you'll know. But look for it. I think Annie's, what is Annie's podcast? Is it Quilting Stash? I believe it may be, in any event. Speaking of podcasts, we've got good podcast news in that we've gotten some new podcasts. Mary and Mary and Fonz have a podcast. They posted the first episode last week. I think they want to do this weekly. It's called Quilt Your Heart Out, and you can subscribe to it on iTunes. I listened to the first episode. It was delightful. They interviewed my girl, Victoria Finley Wolf, who did say that people always call her Virginia Finley Wolf, which I have done before. So anyway, but she was great. She was quite delightful. And the podcast itself, I really enjoyed it. I felt like the sound was not great, but I just assume these guys are professionals and they'll figure it out. It just felt a little tinny, and I don't know. They'll work it out. I don't have any concerns about that. The other podcast, let me see if I've got it. Yes, Hobbies Up to Here. And Noni posted about this, I think, on Twilters. Someone did. Maybe Krista. Anyway, it's interesting. If you go to the website, and I'll link to it in the show notes, they've done a number of episodes, but if you subscribe in iTunes, I think they're just like five posted. I could be wrong, but that was my sense. I listened to about 5 minutes this morning. It's a mother-daughter podcast, so it's like, wow, mother-daughter podcast time here. And it was great. They sounded really funny and fun. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm happy to see kind of a new crop of quilty podcasters coming up. And, you know, because people kind of have to drop out and people's lives get in the way. So some of our favorite podcasters aren't podcasting as much or aren't able to podcast anymore. So it's good to see a few new people coming in and picking up, taking up the slack. That makes me happy. If you go to the show notes today, and they are at offkilterquilt.com, you will see pictures of my finished donation quilt with the slightly wonky back that I didn't mean to be wonky. I don't mind wonky, so I'll live with it. But when I took a picture, I'm like, wait a minute. You'll see what I mean when you look. Also, you will see my VFW stars. That would be Victoria Finley Wolf stars. I finished the top last week. I was excited last week. I had on Monday, I finished two tops. And I was fine with it. And I mean, liked it. It was all improvised and made up. And so I was like, yeah, this is cool and it's fun and it'll be good for, you know, practice my machine quilting. But I looked at it and I was like, it's fine. And I'm not worrying about it because you know what I'm about this year? I'm about being playful and improvising. And I just got is it Sherilyn Woods? Is that right? It's Sherry Lynn Wood. I found her improv handbook at the library. I couldn't believe it. So I checked that out and it looks fabulous. I will tell you more about it when I actually spent some more time with it. But anyway, so that's who I am. I am Miss Playful. So I was just going to be cool. And then I had a fun little accident happen. I was thinking about, okay, I'm going to do the backing, and I think I'm just going to do some improv stuff. And I started doing wonky strips, just like a long line of wonky strips, solid fabrics that were solids used in the stars and in the construction of the quilt. And on Saturday night, I had this long stretch of wonkiness, and I put it up on the design board next to the quilt top. And on Sunday, I started looking at it. I was like, I think that actually looks really cool as kind of a border. Just the idea of doing doing a border on one side, the right side of the quilt. So if you go to offkilterquilt.com, you'll see the picture. I'm only about halfway done with this as a wonky border, but I like it, and I'm going to trust my intuition that there's something that works with this. And again, playful, improvisational. Let's just have some fun this year, ladies. Let's do it. I have started on my second donation quilt because I am enjoying the hand piecing very much. Thank you so much to Noni, who pointed out that in the free Jenny Byers Block of the Month Club on Craftsy last year, she does all her quilts. All those amazing quilts are hand pieced. And so she actually talks about hand piecing and how to do it. And so I was like, oh, this is so cool. So if I think about it, I will also put a link to that in the show notes. But if I don't think about it, you just have to go to Craftsy and search Jenny Byers and it's going to be there. Anyway, isn't that cool? So yes, but I'm enjoying that. So last night, watching Downton Abbey, which finally a good episode. By the way, it is February, let's call it February 22nd. It's Monday, 2016. And yes, I'm not going to give any spoilers, any Downton spoilers, but this has not been my favorite season. But last night was good and soapy, and I sat there and worked on my squares, on my hand piecing for the next donation quilt. I'm working on instructions, and I'm going to try to get in to see Heather, who's the pastor at my church, and Gare, who's the youth pastor, who are both interested in doing the donation quilts project, and seeing if I can, with my instructions, if I can teach them how to do a very simple four-patch block. I think I can. Okay, this is a long enough episode, so I think I'm just going to go ahead with the Quilt Diaries. Talk to you later. Quilt Diary Day 1. I'm re-recording. I got very excited on Sunday. I went to the Modern Quilt Guild meeting, which I will tell you about in a second. And I came home, and I recorded, and I just listened to what I recorded, and there's too much blathering. I'm trying to blather less. I really am. I'm trying to be professional. And I'm never going to be professional, but I'd like to be a little more focused. I finished yesterday the third draft of Birds in the Air, and that was my goal with it, to make it move faster and be more focused and also be a little funnier. So I'll try to be a little funnier too. The Modern Quilt Guild meeting, it was great. I really enjoyed myself, although at first I was sure I was going to hate it. I went, it was at 3:00, yay, at my local library branch, yay. And it was a group, I'm going to say between 30 and 35 people were there,
which is a nice size. That may be, I don't know, let's err toward 30, but a nice size. It felt like enough people, so it felt vibrant and thriving and good things were happening, but not so many people that it was overwhelming for those of us who don't like big groups. At first, I felt alone in a crowd because I didn't know anyone. I recognized people. There were people I recognized from Durham Orange Quilt Guild. There are people I recognized from many, many years ago when I went to a few Modern Quilt Guild meetings. But I didn't really know anyone. And then the guild president, Michelle, who's very, very likable, she announced that this meeting place was actually just temporary and hopefully the meeting would move to Briar Creek, which is a neighborhood, a subdivision that kind of sits right on the border between Raleigh and Durham. It is a very centralized location for this guild, which is supposed to be serving the whole triangle area, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and a lot of little towns all around. But for me, it's about a 25-minute drive. So I was like, I don't know anybody, and now it's going to be too far away. But by the end of the meeting, I thought, well, it's just once a month. It's at 3. I'll do it. What happened, and this is a funny thing too, because I hate when big groups split up into small groups. And so when it was announced we would be splitting up into small groups, I was like, oh man, I am never coming back. But the small groups were fun. What it was is that they wanted to have discussions about what the guild could do to get better. So there were 5 board members. We counted off into groups of 5. And just talked. And there were, in my group, there were 7 people all together. 2 of us were new. I mean, I was more newish, but 2 of us were new. The other new person was not only new to the guild, but was also new to the area and new to quilting. But she was quite delightful. And what I appreciated was that the board member who was leading our discussion really worked to include us in the discussion, really wanted to hear from us. And we talked about what the guild could do to attract new members and what the guild, you know, what were the kind of activities we wanted guild meetings to revolve around, and how do you get more people to volunteer and be active. And, you know, that is the problem. I think most groups of a voluntary nature, groups like church groups and quilt guilds and the like, that's the problem they have. No one's for it. We don't have to go to the meetings, right? You can pay your membership dues. It doesn't mean you're actually going to show up. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to Sunday school. You don't have to go to guild meeting. And that's a problem for the people who are running things, because they need people to show up and they need people to volunteer and they need people on committees. And so we talked about, how do you get people to be active volunteers? And one of the ideas, I guess, is that you make them as part of their membership, which is actually, maybe that's what you've got to do, not necessarily make people lead committees, but actually serve on committees. So it was a good, fun discussion, and I liked the people in my group. It was interesting. We had a variety of ages, I think probably spanning early 30s to perhaps even 60. There was a woman in the group named Terry who I liked, and she's at least 5 or 6 years older than I am, and possibly in her 60s. It was hard to tell. And she was interesting. At one point, I can't quite remember what brought this on, what the connection was. It's possible we were talking about having more classes as part of the meetings, like technique classes. And this is what she might have been responding to, because she said something about how she felt that there were too many rules now in modern quilting, too many rules about what modern quilting is, you know, that it's not liberated anymore. It's not, you know, footloose and fancy free, that now it's like there are these parameters defining what modern quilting is that used not to be there. And I don't know if that's true or not. I suggested if that is true, maybe it's because of QuiltCon, where you have now this big
conference every year where people are submitting quilts, and there have to be some parameters as to what kind of quilts you can submit. Now, I have not looked at the QuiltCon website about submissions, and maybe I will, because it'd be interesting to know if they say, well, you can submit these kind of quilts, but not these kind of quilts. Because you would think anyone submitting to QuiltCon would be submitting at least modern-ish quilts and not traditional quilts. But so I don't know. I thought that was an interesting point, and it's one I will have to ponder. What is a modern quilt? Now, Jen, the board member who was leading our discussion, was very wide open as to what modern quilts might be. I mean, there's the general definition, which is, you know, use of minimalism, use of negative space, alternate grid work, solids, you know, the basic modern quilt style, except that's going to grow and change and evolve. So it's interesting for us here, especially those with an interest in modern quilts or modern traditionalism, which I think a lot of us are, to be here and watching a movement unfold. And one of the things that Terry said to me as we were leaving the meeting, and I said, you know, it's a really nice group, I like them. She said, yeah, she said, they're very young, and they think they've invented it. And, you know, but I'm like, yeah, that's the nature of youth, right? You're young, you think you're inventing something new, and you should think that, and that's what energizes you. So, yeah, we're watching this movement unfold, and it's kind of cool. So I have finished 2 quilt tops since last we spoke. In fact, I finished them both yesterday. Did I mention today's Tuesday, February 16th, 2016? It is. And so yesterday, which was Monday, I finished my Victoria Finley Wolf Star quilt. At least I finished the top, and I also finished my donation quilt top. The donation quilt top needs reinforcing in some spots I've seen. I didn't learn until about halfway through the construction of the blocks that I needed to be backstitching. That would be typical me. I just start doing stuff and then I take a break and learn how to do it. So that's what I learned by looking at some videos online that I needed to be backstitching. And now I need to go, and there's some spots where clearly the stitches are not holding together that well. But nonetheless, the quilt top is done. It is cute. I'm going to machine quilt it. I do believe that will be what I encourage for if we ever get this quilt group going at church to make donation quilts. That I would encourage machine quilting. One, just for the speed of it, and two, because I don't know. I don't know if I'm right. As I'm thinking, obviously, as I'm speaking, but I feel like the machine quilting in some ways would be more durable. That could be wrong. But maybe it's just my machine quilting is probably more durable than my hand quilting at this point. But we'll move on with that. I haven't decided how to quilt the Victoria Finley Wolf quilt. Now, here's the thing. My big hope, I had some hope that I would finish the quilt top before the Modern Quilt Guild meeting on Sunday. And I got pretty close, and I realized it just wasn't going to happen, so I let it go. It is an improvised top, you know, in just about every way, which means it's a little bit funky and not always beautiful when you look at the back. I like looking at the front, but even looking at the front, I can see some of my improvised large piecing was a little questionable, but fortunately the background's navy blue, so who's gonna even see? The funny thing is, so the last piece of fabric I added was a long strip that runs the length of the left side of the quilt. I just needed the quilt to be a little bit wider than it was. So I did that and thought, okay, I'll add this and then I'll square the quilt top up. But you know what? I put it on the design board after I added the strip, and it's like, I really like it. It's wonky. You know, at this point, it's just wonky. And like, well, it's a modern quilt. Why should it have four right angles? Why can't it be, you know, a rhombozoid or a trapezoid or whatever that is? So I think it's kind of cool looking. And I'm thinking about, for the binding it, finding some lime green fabric. It's got lime green. One of the blocks has a lime green border, and I really like it. And I think it will, I'm going to try it. That's my thought right now. That's my thought right now, is to give it that. And I don't know what I'm going to do for the backing. If I'm going to piece something together, I might. I'm a little tired of improvisational piecing at this point. It's like, it will be very tempting just to buy a sheet. Just use an old sheet. Why not? But I am pleased to have two finishes now in 2016. I'm planning to cut out some more blocks for another donation quilt. The first quilt, the squares, I should say, I'm saying blocks, I mean squares. The squares are 3.5 inches, and I think I'm going to cut out squares 4.5 inches and make the quilt slightly bigger and also slightly faster to make bigger. That makes sense? No, whatever. That's my plan. I'll keep you updated on it. So that is where I am. So Modern Quilt Guild meeting ended up. Oh, so we had small groups, right? And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the people in my group. Again, different ages, just lots of. It just seemed like a lot of different kinds of people there. The president did a short presentation on quilt design, and we did a little creative exercise, which I enjoyed. And then we're show and tell. And there were a broad range of quilts, some really amazing quilts. All the quilts were nice. A couple of them did not strike me as particularly modern, and I thought that was cool, because I'm like Terry. It's like, you know, everybody's welcome at the table. So it's a good meeting, and I left feeling good about it and having enjoyed myself. So I will return, even if it is 25 minutes away, as long as they keep it at 3 o'clock, if they switch back to 5. And I'm a little scared about that, because I think one of the reasons it's at 3 o'clock is because that's when they could get the library. And I know the next couple of meetings are going to be at the library. And I just hope that when they change location, they don't change time. Fingers crossed. All right, I think that is it for right now. But I hope to have all kinds of more interesting things to tell you here in just a little bit. Talk to you soon. Quilt Diary Day 2. This may be a short one, but I just had to share this with you. It's not even something that originates with me, but I have been on Instagram looking at all the wonderful pictures from QuiltCon. Today is Thursday, by the way, February 18th, and the QuiltCon Best in Show quilt has been announced. It is by Melissa Averinos. And it is called, is it My Brother's Denim? Let me see, I've got it up here. I'm going to pull all the way up. My Brother's Jeans, Pieced and Quilted by Melissa Averinos. And it's a really interesting quilt. I am still pondering this quilt. I'm quite taken by it. But it is, I think, a quilt that you have to live with a little bit. I would love to see it in person. If you probably by now have seen it, if you're interested in modern quilts at all, or it's the background is very light colors, kind of imagine kind of wonky log cabins a little bit. It's that feel, and the colors are beiges and really like pinks and creams and tans, and there are occasional strips of, I see like a blue floral, but just a strip. And just it's, and then there are crosses made out of jeans and her brother's jeans, and just the, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 3 that sort of dominate the center, and then 5 surrounding them, 6 surrounding them. Yes, and it's just growing and growing on me. But I'll be interested to see if anyone's like, I don't know. So I don't, will it be controversial? You know, part of me is like, oh, I hope so. I love when there's controversy. But
I don't know if there will be or not. That will be interesting to see what develops. But I mention this quilt. I would have mentioned it anyway, but that's actually not what made me turn on the recorder. I just, there was something she posted, and so I went on, I was on Instagram, and I saw that she was on Instagram, so I followed her. And yesterday, she posted this. If you are not going to QuiltCon and are feeling jealous and overcome with FOMO, which I'm not sure, I have to look, what is that? FOMO, I'm going to check. Ah, fear of missing out. And overcome with fear of missing out. While I am excited and fully intend to have a great time, just be aware that it's not always what it looks like in the photos. There can be loneliness, envy, competition, feeling left out. You might see hashtag quilty friends or the best friends tags that make you wish you were there in that moment with those people, but in reality, maybe everyone was cranky and preoccupied with their phones or looking around to see who the coolest person they could talk to is or whatever. I know you know that it is not all amazing and perfect all the time, but I just want to remind you not to judge your insides by anyone else's Instagram photos, okay? XOXO. And I just thought that was super cool. I've not been, obviously, to QuiltCon yet. One day, next year, I hope. But I can imagine that being the case where there is a, you know, I'm sure people are having a great time. And my friend Kristen is there right now. And Jay is there. And I can't wait to hear their reports. And Kristen texted me this afternoon this fabulous picture of herself with Victoria Finley Wolf, and Jay posted a picture to Instagram of she's taking a class with Victoria Finley Wolf, and I'm so excited for her. I'm so excited that Kristen, and it's a great picture. Both Kristen and Victoria just look gorgeous. So I'm not feeling left out. Feel like I'm missing out. I'm really enjoying my friends' experiences vicariously, but you know what? I'm really old, and I have been at other kind of conferences where I know that feeling very well because I go to conferences like the American Library Association. I'm going to their summer conference in, I think it's in Orlando in June, and I can tell you they're always, I'm not a big star, and there will be lots of people there who are big stars, and people want to be around the big stars. I have my fans. I have people who really like my books, so I don't feel like nothing. But, you know, I know that feeling of just going, oh, everybody's going over to Kate DiCamillo's booth or Neil Gaiman's booth, you know, and it's just like, yeah. So anyway, that's not a good feeling. And I've not had that feeling at the quilt show, but that's kind of for me right now. One of the things that I enjoy about quilting is I'm just doing it for fun. The shows I go to for fun. I am not a star, and that's really cool. And I'm not a wannabe star, so that's really cool. But I could especially see at QuiltCon, which my guess skews a little bit younger, where there are going to be a lot of people feeling like, oh, look at all those stars, or look at all those people who are kind of friends with the stars, and look at all those people who just seem like they're having a great time, and I'm feeling a little like I'm not sure what I'm doing here. And I just think that's really cool that she posted this a day ago. I don't know if she knew then that she'd won Best of Show, but I just think that's a fabulous message that we are not to judge our insides, how we're feeling, when we're feeling insecure or down or lonely, by other people's outsides, because other people do such a good job of kind of looking like they're having a great time. And, you know, there have been times when I've been out in the world feeling really down, and I realize I probably look just fine, like I don't have a care in the world. So yeah, that's really important. I just thought that was cool, and I like her quilt, and now I like her. It has been fun to see the QuiltCon photos. I can't tell you how tickled I was when Kristen texted me the picture of her and Victoria Finley Wolf. I'm so so me focused that I was like, oh, my first impulse was to text her, and I didn't. I was like, oh, did you tell her I said hi? Did you tell her that I'm her biggest fan? I'm like, it is possible that Kristen actually did not mention me in her conversation with VFW, even though she knows I adore VFW. But anyway, So, other quilting news. I spent some time today working on instructions for making a four-patch quilt, and which, again, it's interesting to do as someone who has moved beyond. Does one ever truly move beyond a four-patch quilt? No. And by the way, I'm almost done with the binding on mine. This quilt, it's really cute. It's really cute. I'll have pictures, I'm sure. Yeah, because I hope to be done with the binding tonight. For the backing, I used navy blue. I had some blocks left over when I was first putting the quilt together, when I was first making the blocks. And I made some blocks that just did not work out color-wise. Even though, and this was interesting to me, I felt in terms of the colorways that they were pretty close to what... So, you know, the quilt itself has... It has purple and blue and orange. I'm going to walk over here. And I'm sorry, I hope you can't hear the radio behind me. I've got NPR on. This was sort of impulsive for me to start podcasting. So, so I've got these very cute prints, oranges and pink. And then I cut out some squares that are this very cute 1930s small floral, orange, purple, with tiny white flowers outlined in gray in the background. And you know what? Interestingly enough, when put up against some real whites, it just was dull. And that surprised me, because you look at it in and of itself, it's very cute. But compared to the brightness of some of the other prints, I think because of those little tiny background flowers being outlined in gray, it just kind of read, eh. So anyway, so I have a number of... I can look 1, 2, 3. So I, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 10. I had 10 leftover blocks that didn't work in the front, and so I just made a line of five and another line of five, and I sewed them together. And then on either, so, and they're kind of in the middle of the backing. And I have to say, I think it's adorable. I do. So anyway, using purple, a dark purple, well, light purple is violet, right? So just a purple. It's actually a very true purple for the binding. And I really like this. But so writing up the instructions for it has been an interesting process. And what my plan is maybe sometime next week, go in and maybe make a brown bag lunch date with Heather, who's the pastor, and then Gare, who's the youth pastor, is very interested in doing this too. Bring in my instructions and sit down with them, have lunch, go over the instructions, and then maybe try to do a couple blocks with them. But see, to the, I don't think either of them quilt. I know neither of them quilt. But see if the instructions are clear to them and what information is missing. I'm hoping that will help me figure out where the gaps are here. But what was fun is actually drawing little sketches to try to illustrate how to pin two squares together, right sides together, and also showing how to do a running stitch where you weave the needle in and out evenly and then pull the thread through, which is something I've just learned to do. So anyway, so that was kind of a fun project. The other project I've been working on, I have finished another draft of Birds in the Air, which I think I mentioned earlier, and it's now going through the editing process yet again. And I am starting to think about marketing and how to market to quilters. And it'd be great to do a blog tour. It would be great to... Oh, I've written it all down. But I think we're going to do a book trailer, which I think will be very fun. And this is exciting to me. We are getting a professional designer to design a cover. And so that's one of the things I was thinking about is what do I want the cover to look like? And I was talking about that sort of tension between I want it to be contemporary and modern, but also cozy, but not old-fashioned and frumpy and et cetera, et cetera. So these things are really fun for me to think about. And if you have great ideas for marketing or publicizing my book, please let me know. And if you can think of who should blurb it, let me know. Because once we... I know that it will be done by September. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about where it's going to make its big debut. I'll tell you when I know, if I can talk about it. But so this summer we should have advanced readers copies ready, and I'm going to send them out to various people who hopefully will read them and then give great quotes, say really nice things that then we can put on the back cover. So any ideas in that direction, do let me know. Anyway, it's a fun quilty day for me. And I have just been having, as I said, great time looking at the QuiltCon pictures, great time thinking about going to QuiltCon in Savannah. And here's the exciting thing is my girls Emma and Amy from the Quilt Alliance are planning to go, and Amy's already offered me a ride. Emma is at QuiltCon right now. Amy couldn't go, but she posted a great picture of Emma ready to do interviews of videos of people and their quilts. And so I said, "Oh, that's great," and da 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 da. And then Amy posted back, like, "Let's come with us next year." And I'm like, "All right, I'm there," because Emma and Amy are super cool, and I think it would be really fun to drive to Savannah with them. So just all QuiltCon-y. Modern Quilt excited right now, and I hope you are too, and I will talk to you more in a bit. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Saturday, February 20th, 2016. Well, here you go. Make a wish, and QuiltCon will answer it. Apparently, from what I've heard, what I've been reading on Facebook, the prize-winning quilt, My Brother's Jeans, by Melissa, I'm not going to get the last name, by Melissa, has proved controversial. We're having a discussion about it on Twilters. Now, Twilters is a private page, so I won't name names. I'll just give a kind of overview of the discussion. I do want to remind you, if you're interested in joining Twilters, if you're on Facebook, message me. Just look up Francis Dowell, Francis O'Rourke Dowell. Message me, let me know, and I will get you in. And we've been having some very fun discussions lately. Someone posted about getting a negative comment because she was doing handwork at a Quilt Guild meeting, and we all felt like that was just silly. Here's the question. Do you do any handwork, knit, hand piecing, what have you, hand applique, at church? Should you attend a church? I never have. Some people were saying they did. And I do believe very strongly that for some of us, doing handwork actually helps us focus our thoughts, focus on the speaker, on the preacher, on the lecturer, whomever. I know this to be quite true about me. So I think that pastors, rabbis, whomever, listen to me with my whomevers. I don't know where even that's coming from. Anyway, it should encourage us to bring our piecing and knitting to our place of worship. But certainly, you would think, at a guild meeting. I can't think of a guild meeting I've ever been to where people haven't been doing work, including knitting, by the way. In any event, I posted a picture of the winning quilt. It is Melissa Averinos. Her quilt is My Brother's Jeans. And people have had varying reactions to it. Of course, there are a lot of us who are just seeing it through this picture. I think experiencing a quilt via photography is a very, very different experience than seeing a quilt live and in person. And what was interesting later yesterday afternoon, last night, a couple of folks who actually are at QuiltCon got on. And what somebody posted a comment just saying they felt that maybe we were that it seemed like if your quilt had kind of a sad story or was political in some way, it was going to get more likely to get acknowledged, to receive an award. And that's, of course, just personal opinion. I don't know if that's true or not. It's an interesting observation. And there were people who agreed with that. There were people who said, you know, I'm not a modern quilter and this quilt doesn't really do much for me. There were people like me who said, you know, I like it. I'm interested in this quilt. And other people really loved it. And then came the folks who actually are at QuiltCon. And what they say is, A, yes, it has proven to be a controversial quilt for Best in Show. That in fact the construction
is not great. And it actually looks better in the pictures than it does in real life. Very interesting. Now, also interesting, someone who is actually someone in the world of modern quilting got on and said, you know, this is what makes QuiltCon different from traditional quilt shows. And my question, which I hope she'll respond to, I'm sure she will, given time, is just, I'd love to know, is there different criteria? And does a quilt story matter? And, you know, as a story person, I love the idea that a story might matter. I've been thinking about the Sacred Thread Show at the Quilt Alliance meeting this summer in July outside of D.C. And there was a quilt there called Anne Give Us a Jig. It was not one of my favorite quilts in the show. It showed the back of a woman. She was wearing a pink tutu, which was actually an embellishment. It was actually the tulle or whatever attached to the quilt. Red hair, and the hair may have been made out of red yarn. I'm not sure. But I didn't love the colors. There was just something. There were so many amazing quilts, and this did not strike me as the most amazing quilt. Well, when the Sacred Thread Show opened, or maybe the day before it opened, Emma Parker from the Quilt Alliance did video interviews with a number of the quilters. And to be honest, I can't remember if it was the first night or the following morning, Saturday morning, she showed some of those videos. And one of the people she had videoed was the quilt maker for Anne Give Us a Jig. And so she told the story, and Anne was actually her sister-in-law who had died of cancer. And if I recall the story correctly, and I'll put a link to these stories, I think she died very quickly. It was not a long wasting cancer. It was one that got, you know, just moved in pretty quickly. I could be wrong about that. But in any event, it sounds like her sister-in-law, Anne, was an amazing person. She was a nurse. She was lively. She was the kind of person who danced in the kitchen, right? And there was something about hearing the story behind the quilt and hearing it from the quilt maker herself that was very powerful, and it changed my experience of that quilt completely. And interestingly enough, that night at dinner, I was sitting with a group of people who'd also seen the quilt and had had the same initial response, were a little bit meh about it or didn't like it. And then after they heard the story, they felt so differently, and the quilt became powerful to them, as it had to me. My brother's jeans, the Best of Show Quilt Con, has a story behind it, which is those jeans are from the quilt maker's brother who committed suicide several years ago. And, you know, and the denim in the quilt is in the form of crosses. You know, I described the quilt earlier. And I think it, knowing the story, does bring a layer of meaning to it and a layer of significance to the quilt that maybe wouldn't be there if you didn't know the story. I'm interested in the idea that in some realms that you would include the story in your consideration of a quilt's worth, a quilt's value. I don't mean monetary value, but just it's that the story is part of what makes a quilt exceptional. I am intrigued by that idea. The fact is, you know, I'm not sentimental about quilts in the way that it's like, well, every quilt tells a story, because every quilt doesn't tell a story. Or it might be the story of a quilt might be, well, we were repainting the guest room and we needed a green quilt, so I made one. Which is not a, you know, so I think every quilt can be a marker for the quilter, because we often look at quilts and remember what we were doing and what was going on in our lives when we were making them. But there are quilts that do have significant stories, but we don't know them unless the quilter tells them. So there's a way in which that doesn't quite seem fair to beautiful quilts that don't have a compelling story behind them. They're just beautiful quilts. One of the interesting things for me for all of this, and thinking about this and looking at all the pictures from the last couple days, is that
if you're not a QuiltCon, which I'm not, you're seeing isolated pictures. You're seeing quilts, first of all, photographs, which I've already said, don't always give you the full impact of a quilt. It is interesting to me that someone said, in fact, the quilt, my brother's jeans, looks better in a photograph than if you're standing right in front of it. It's very, you know, but what I'm seeing in my Instagram feed and on Facebook are, you know, isolated quilts. A lot of people are clearly drawn to a lot of the same quilts because you're seeing, people are putting up pictures of their favorite quilts from the show, and it's oftentimes the same picture. There are some amazing quilts, and I suspect if I had made an amazing quilt that was beautifully constructed, that was a beautiful quilt, that was beautifully quilted, I might feel gypped. I might feel angry, you know, that this quilt that is reportedly not beautifully constructed is it's a very quiet quilt in its way, you know. And so, but I might feel like, oh, well, maybe I should have made up a story about, you know, the personal significance of this quilt. Maybe it would have gotten more attention. I don't know. This is something I'm pondering. I'd like to hear more about how QuiltCon judging might be different from a traditional quilt shows and what is included, what is factored in into the final judgment. You know, I like the idea that it might be a little, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right word. I'm coming up with smushy. That the edges might not be so defined, but that can be problematic too, and it certainly will lead to controversial choices on the parts of judges. One of the things, looking at these pictures from QuiltCon, that I have felt is just, I have felt really excited. I was, because for a while there, you know, I'd been so interested in modern quilts, and then I kind of was losing interest, in part because I wanted to be challenging myself more as a quilter to learn more skills and techniques, which I sort of kind of have. I'm feeling very, right now, like I need to get schooled. Have any of you gone through like the Quilt Academy books? I have Quilt Academy 1, and I just feel like, yeah, I need to learn more, get better. And I think that's one of the things when you see quilts that you love, and you know you could not make with the skills you possess right now. I mean, one of the great things is like, okay, well, let me get those skills. Let me figure out how to do that. Let me take a class. You know, I mean, that's a great way to be inspired. But in any event, and I felt like the sort of modern quilts that I was playing around with, they weren't asking very much of me technically. The quilts that I'm seeing at QuiltCon, I think are they've become technically more sophisticated, visually more sophisticated. They're exciting. I'm excited. And there just was this period of time where I wasn't excited by modern quilts. I felt like I kept seeing the same quilt over and over. And it's one of those things, the eye gets tired, and my eyes were tired. But looking at these quilts at QuiltCon this year, it's like, wow, people are doing super cool stuff. And that's neat. I think that's good for quilting in general. It's great for modern quilting. I hope that, you know, there will be an ongoing discussion of what modern quilting is, and why. And I feel like that definition has just got to get wider and broader. The more skills people pick up, the more they bring into their quilts. We shall see. Let me take this moment to thank everyone who commented on the last episode. I want to say thanks to Gretchen, who has a great blog called 120blocks.com. And she sent a great link, which I have in the show notes. She has this whole post about organizing group quilting. It's a page. It's a whole page devoted to that. It's excellent. Thank you so much, Gretchen. I got so many good ideas from reading that page, and I'm psyched. One of the things she says, on this page, I included everything I have learned in my years of leading groups of non-quilters to make quilts. The biggest challenge is getting them to sew quarter-inch seams. I've taken to using index cards ruled in a quarter-inch grid and including them in the block kit.
As you know, if you've been listening, I am trying to organize a group at our church to do donation quilts. I mentioned earlier that I finally sat down and wrote out directions. And I realized I had a list of things like to include in a quilt kit, and I realized I forgot pins. People will need pens. It's just things you take for granted. You got them lying around. I got hundreds of pens, but yeah. Anyway, so if you are thinking, yeah, I'd like to start some group to make donation quilts, go to Gretchen's page. The link is in the show notes. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, who is in very hot California right now. It sounds, but my friend Kristen is in California too. She said it's been like 90 degrees since January. Anyway, and Kelly mentioned to me that she's talking about hand piecing and the importance of backstitching. And she would count, when she learned how to do this when she was little, she would count 1, 2, backstitch, 1, 2, backstitch. And that sounds good because, you know, one of the things, so I wasn't backstitching at first, and I really did have to go around when I finished the quilt top for the donation quilt. I had to go back and do some restitching. Not all my stitches held that well. So backstitching, a very important thing to know about when you are hand piecing. Noni says that she learned to hand piece from Ginny Byers' very old CD, which was released before DVDs. And, and this is very important, that when Ginny Byers did the Craftsy Block of the Month in 2015, she taught hand piecing, and I need to go check that out. Thank you, Noni, for mentioning that. If I remember, and if I can, I will link to that. If you're interested, I'm digging the hand piecing. I know I've said it, but I'm going to say it again. It's very relaxing. It's very nice to do in front of the TV. Just saying. And I heard from Kristen, who loves the color combo of my donation quilt. Thank you, Kristen, for your comment. I got a couple emails. I got an email from Carmeet, who, if you will recall, sent in a link last time about sociopolitical quilts, which I included in last time's show notes. And yes, and also learned that I think last time I called her Carmeet, but it's Carmeet, yes, which makes absolute sense. Sorry about that. I'll get it right from now on. And I also got an email from Lauren about copyright, in which she had made a quilt that was based on a painting. She belongs to the Canadian Quilters Association, which has a challenge every year. And she made a fabric copy of a painting by an artist named Fred Varley, and then went hunting for permission to use it. And she actually had to contact his estate, and they were quite kind and said sure, that they felt that her piece was more of an inspired by the painting as opposed to actually a true copy of the painting. Anyway, this is all connected to discussions of copyright. And one of the things, you know, I feel that I've read quite often is what upsets people. I mean, obviously, we're not talking about, I mean, if you steal someone's pattern, you use someone's pattern as your own and sell someone, you know, that's one thing. But I think that what is bothersome to some people is that people take ideas or without permission, or, you know, say, oh, I really like that quilt, I'm going to make a version of that. And they never contact the original quilt maker and say, how would you feel if I tried to do a similar quilt? And I think most people, I think most creative people are pretty generous and fairly flattered by imitation. You know, I just think that we do, you know, again, we know what the debate is about. Can you copyright traditional blocks? Can you, you know, there are just some patterns that you're just like, really? You were allowed to copyright that? That seems crazy. But when you do get to original artwork, you know, so many people, it's just like, ask permission, which Lauren did. And she was kind enough to send me both the original, a JPEG of the original artwork and the quilt she made based on it, inspired by it, and it's beautiful quilt, a beautiful quilt. So anyway, this topic continues to interest me, and I really appreciated Lauren's email. I would love to hear from you. You can email me at fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. I love getting emails. I love hearing from people. Or you can leave a comment. And it's interesting, this last episode didn't get a ton of comments. All the comments I got,
I held close to my heart and loved these people even more than I loved them before. And I love you too, but I'd love to hear from you. I do sometimes think that there's a zeitgeist deal. You know what I mean? That sometimes I feel like right now everybody I know is super busy. And I know you've been commenting in your head, but if you just want to make my day, comment. You don't even have to listen to the podcast, although if you're at this point in the podcast, you listen to the podcast. But anyway, I do love to hear from you. So I'll be back in 10 days, and I hope to have lots of interesting things to tell you. Tell me your interesting things. I'd love to hear. Okay, then.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.